The next point is some of the best teachable moments come in times of disobedience. We are not trying to raise perfect kids. Rather, we are trying to raise kids who know how to recover well when they make mistakes. If your kid doesn't make any mistakes under your roof, they're going to have to figure it out when they're not under your protection. They're going to go away to college and make mistakes and think, oh my gosh, if my mom knew this, she would die. And that's the kids that sneak off and have an abortion because they think you can't handle it. You've got to have them in an environment safe, yes, protected, yes, but listen to this, control freaks raise freaks. And if you are a control freak and you think you can control every aspect of your son's life so that he doesn't make bad choices, he's going to push you away. He's going to resent you. I can't tell you how many times in youth ministry, a mom will say, my son stormed out of the house saying, just let me live my own life. Men learn from their mistakes. Did you know that? They do. And they learn it well. But you gotta be there to pick them up when they fall. I'm not saying give them all the freedom. I mean, Brandon would be like, why don't you let me skateboard all over town? I'm like, that town has meth and it eats young boys for lunch. You're not going to skateboard all around town. That's being wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Ask God for that discernment, but also know that when they make mistakes, the world's not over. You're going to show them how to recover from their mistakes and that you're with them in the mistake. Everyone say with me, I am not alone. God is with us. Isaiah 41:10, I love it. It says, be not afraid or dismayed, for I'm your God. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will help you. Write that down, Isaiah 41:10. Memorize it. I didn't even realize I had that verse memorized until one day I was driving into town. It was when we moved from Texas to California, and I was kind of having an anxiety attack, like, what am I moving my kids to? And that scripture washed over my mind. And that is truth, because if God calls us to this, then he will help us. So when God sent me these amazing mentors, let's talk about mentors for a little while. Titus 2 calls the older women to teach the younger. You know why? Because hashtag old ladies know stuff. That's the name of my new podcast. It hasn't launched yet. I think I'm going to put it out in October. But old ladies know stuff. God knows I can't write a letter to my younger self and change anything about my past, but I can write it to you, girl. And I can be honest with you about my successes and my failures. Old ladies know stuff. And Titus 2 says, older women teach the younger how to love their husbands and love their children. And I needed help. And God answered my prayer for help through these older women. They taught me so many things. But one thing that they taught me was how to love God's word. I grew up in the church. I could fill out any of those Bible studies, Jesus, Holy Spirit. You know, I went to Christian schools. But I did not wash my mind with the water of the word. See, you will never know yourself more clearly than through the lens of Scripture. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides asunder the very thoughts and intents of your heart. So we always want to go of their heart. You get in the Word, and you will see a reflection of yourself that God will transform. And the Bible also says, don't be conformed to this world. Social media scrolling, you're being conformed. Whether it's news apps that you look at that cause you to be anxious, whether it's people that have more than you wish you had, whatever it is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You want to be able to tell your kid, no, I don't think you should go to that. You want to walk in wisdom? You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you don't have to have a reason. You can just be like, I don't know. I know in my knower, I'm going to tell you no. I know in my knower you shouldn't go to that thing. And if they ask why, I don't have a piece about it, and I'm going to stick with that. And your kids will learn to be led by the Spirit as they see you being led. You don't have to argue with them. You just say, no. But one of the things that they taught me was how many amazing women are in Scripture. And moms of the Bible, the first section of Moms Raising Son is all about moms of the Bible. And the first one that I actually love to talk about is David's mom. Because here's David, little boy on the hillside, you know, taking care of the animals for his dad. And then all of a sudden he's out fighting a giant, right? And what does he say to Saul when Saul puts all that armor on him? And it kind of reminds me of that, like, that Don't Shoot Your Eye Out movie. Like, he's got all that armor on and he's like, Saul, I can't move. I'm going to take it off. And he says this, God gave me victory over a lion and he gave me victory over a bear. I know he's going to give me victory over that giant. Okay, he's like 17 years old. So what he just said was, when I was a teenager taking care of my father's sheep, God gave me victory to, with my bare hand, kill a lion and kill a bear. Where was his mama? She was not fighting his battles for him. And sometimes God, get this, sends the lion and he sends the bear to equip your son to battle a giant that you know nothing about. And we helicopter moms want to rescue our kids. And if something bad comes across our kids' path, the first thing we want to do is get mad at God that he let it happen, right? How can I pray powerfully for my son, for God to use that trial that he went through for God's glory, if I'm so ticked off at God that he let that happen? My prayers have now been rendered powerless. I'm not Moses on a mountaintop with my arms in the air interceding for Joshua who's fighting the battle. I'm arms folded mad at God that he let that bear come. And he's like, you can't, you don't know. God's ways are not like ours. His ways are above ours. His thoughts are above ours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways higher than yours. You don't know the end, and you don't know what giants your child is going to have to face. We'd moved to Texas, and Brandon was 6 years old, and Kayla started screaming upstairs one night when they were upstairs in bed, something's wrong with Brandon. And I ran upstairs, and Brandon was having a seizure. That seizure lasted 28 minutes. I was home alone. We had just moved to Texas, didn't even know where the hospital was. Steve was in California driving back with a car, and I held my son in my lap while my 11-year-old daughter called 911. 28 minutes. And then when he stopped seizing, he was blue and not breathing. And they did a sternum rub on him. They were getting ready to do a tracheostomy. He finally, and he, off he went in a helicopter talking baby talk. My articulate 6-year-old boy was now talking baby talk. And I'm like, oh no, brain damage. 28 minutes without oxygen to the brain, right? And the paramedics wouldn't let me go to the hospital until I calmed down because I didn't even know where I was going. And then finally, and all the way I was like, Brandon's not going to die, but Lord, don't take my son. Don't take his bright smartness. I got to the hospital and Brandon was jumping on the bed. I rode on a helicopter. I'm like, yeah, you did, buddy. And that was about the most expensive ride that kid's ever been on. And so Steve shows up somewhere in the night, and he was driving, and he decided just to drive straight through and not stay at a hotel. And he gets to the hospital, and he walks in, and I'm telling him what happened. He goes, oh, I know, my college roommate had seizures. And I grabbed him by the shirt. I'm like, you have no idea what it's like to watch your son have a seizure. He's like, okay, woman. So they did all these tests on him, and they did an EEG. They glue these little things to their brain, and he was asleep, and they were doing a brain wave study, and it came out that he had severe seizure activity in his brain. But while he was asleep and they were doing this study, I went over and I gave him a little smooch, a little kiss right here on his temple, and the tech called me over, and now it's all digital, but then it was on a piece of paper with marker thing, and she took her marker and she wrote, Mom's kiss. He knows you kissed him. They know in their sleep. So when my kids were in junior high, I went in there like, Mama love you so much. Mama, you love Mama so much. They know. So the doctors called and they said he has severe seizure activity in his brain and he will have more. And I'm like, oh no, he won't. But do you know he did? And his seizures were so bad, they had to medicate him so strong, and it changed his personality. All the rest of us are kind of crazy. He's like the cool musician in the family because musicians, drugs make great musicians. And but I remember after 4 years of this boy having this medication, they put him on special ed at school, which the administrator used those words so flippantly, it pierced my heart. But he would pick up a guitar. And we had planted a church in Texas, so we had band practice in our home every Wednesday night after youth group. We had 200 teenagers in our house every Wednesday night. If you feed them, they will come. And so we did band practice after, and Brandon would just sit behind the different musicians. And Brandon became an incredible musician. And Steve said, I've never met someone at 10 years old who thinks in music theory like Brandon. And one day Brandon had a terrible seizure, and it was one night when he took pills 3 times a day. I forgot, and Steve thought he gave him his bedtime one, I thought, and he had a bad seizure. Called the neurologist, and he said, yeah, that's evidence his seizure activity is still very severe. And that hit my switch. I'm done. I'm out. I went in my room. I'm like, God, our house is being trashed for Jesus. We're making 10,000 hot dogs a year for these teenagers who are coming to Christ, and you can't heal my son. I'm done. I'm out. And I'm just being real with you. I was done. But if you hide God's word in your heart, which is what those older mentors had taught me, you won't sin against him. The still, small voice of the Spirit of God will speak to you through his word, not through your feelings or your experiences, the word of God. And as I was there, I heard, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I said, no, I can't think of one good thing that can come out of this. But I know that's you speaking to my heart. And I know you're good. And I know you love Brandon more than me. And I will say yes with my mouth, even though my heart is far from it. You changed my heart. And slowly, as we watched Brandon emerge as a musician. See, I was coaching high school cheerleading in Texas. If you're from Texas, you know that's a cult. Don't join it. And it's awesome. If you're listening, it's awesome. We love Texas cheerleading. And I would have had Brandon in every sport. I would have had Brandon on every team. I would have made him an arrogant little athlete. But God sent a lion. And he sent a bear because he was molding in my son to be a musician. I wanted to hear the crowd glory in my son's accomplishment as he ran one down the field. And God said, get out of the way, woman, because I'm going to raise your son to bring the crowd to glory in my son's accomplishments through worship. But what if I had gotten mad? What if I had walked away? See, here's the thing. You'll come back. The Bible says if you're his, you can't even pluck yourself out of his hand. You will come back, but at what cost? Meredith was in junior high or high school at the time. My kids were watching. Sometimes your trial is not about you. Your trial is to show your kids, to verify to your children that what you say you believe, you really believe. A decade later, Meredith and Jake were living on campus at the Master's University in Santa Clarita. He was going to seminary. And she had a little four-year-old girl, and then she got pregnant, and she had an ectopic pregnancy, and any of you that have had, you know, that's a big deal. And then after that, we had to tell three-year-old Karis at the time, and Karis, Meredith said, I lost the baby. And Karis reached over at 3 years old and grabbed her mommy's arms. Well, first Karis went like this to cry, and then she grabbed her mommy's arms, and she looked into Meredith's eyes, and she said, but you will hold it in heaven. Out of the mouth of babes. And then Kara started praying for God to put two babies in her mommy's tummy. Guess what happened? God put two babies in her mommy's tummy. And then guess what happened? She lost the babies. And Mary's had about 8 miscarriages. Mary said that one was the hardest. And then her sister Kayla had a bad miscarriage, and it was like hemorrhaging and all that stuff. And I will tell you this, and this is not in my notes, but I love this story. Steve and I had gone on a cruise. We went for our anniversary. And when you're on a cruise, you're not able to connect. And we have a family group text where everybody talks to each other. And when we pulled into port, the family group text just lit up. And we were like, ooh. And it was all of our kids, and Kayla was having a miscarriage, and Kayla was hemorrhaging, and Kayla was going to an emergency room, and she was still bleeding. And all of that. And in between Stev and Kayla's updates, Meredith, I'm praying for you. Do you want me to come? Meredith was 4 hours away. Do you want me to come? Kylene, Tony's wife, who's a doctor, do this. Brandon, praying for you. Encouraging words. We could die. We could die. We raised them to direct each other to Christ through a crisis, and we could die. And that was an awful, sweet experience. I think I'm running out of time, so I need to hurry. Everyone say with me, I am not alone. I'm going to skip some because I don't have time, but you can put up the next picture. We'll just go real quick with that because I already talked about some of this stuff. So this is, your children will feel most secure when they know that your love for each other is genuine. That's Meredith and Jake, and that was Karis when all they had was that one little one. But your kids are watching, and do you know your son is probably going to marry someone like you? How you treat their dad? You treat dad like he's an idiot? That's so familiar. I'm dating this girl. She treats me like an idiot, but it's so familiar. Really careful. Really careful. This generation is desperate for moms that will embrace their calling on motherhood to raise sons that are courageous and righteous. You can go ahead and put on that next one. Apathy is our enemy. Oh, single moms, I didn't have time to talk to you, but if you want to talk to me specifically, I would love to talk to you. God promises to be a father to the fatherless, and my heart is with you. We see you. Press in to godly mentors. Press into a church family. Show your children what godly, healthy marriages look like. We see you, and we are here for you, and MOPS is a great place. The next one, go ahead. I'm going to skip through these real fast. No other calling influences our culture as powerful as motherhood. And the next one is, what legacy will you leave, Mom? One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Psalm 154:4. It's terrifying to raise a son in this culture, and yet God's called us to be culture changers by raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you're not alone, because to what he has called you, he will equip you. He will surround you with an army of old ladies like me, because old ladies know stuff. You guys have mentors at MOPS. These women are there not because they don't have anything better to do with their time. They're there to mentor you. Everyone say with me, I am not alone. I'm going to play one real quick. This is a song Brandon wrote for me for Mother's Day. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Hang on. Here it is. And before you play it, that's my YouTube channel, so you can see it on my YouTube channel. But remember, text me at 33777-BOY-MOM, and you'll be in my stuff, and I've got a bunch of free stuff I was going to give you. I was going to tell you about it, but I'm not going to now because I want to play this. And then when this is done, if we have a chance, we really don't have Q&A, but we can, and you can also message me on social media. Instagram's where I hang out, and I'll answer your messages. It's quiet for a second before it starts. You're gonna die.
I remember first day you took me to that school. You held the entrance up to me like blue. I was afraid, but you helped me be brave. It's all in God's love. And I got older. Soon I was testing on your nerves. Showed me how to be someone who serves. I was a pain, but you stuck to your kindness. It's all in mother's love.
That's Ivy.
The warmth in my heart, when this world is cold. The voice in my head, protecting my soul. Even after you go, the love you gave away. It's all in your mother's love. One September.
That's Brandon, and that's when you was little.
Time to leave the home I knew had come. I felt you like the life I had was gone. Seasons change, but I always will know where to find a mother's love. The warmth in my heart when this world is cold.
It's my granddaughter.
The voice in my head is protecting my soul. Even after you're gone, love you gave away all. It's all in mother's love. If the sky fell down tomorrow, I know I'd make it through. The foundation that you laid is grounding in truth. And I'm full of hope, no matter where I go. And I will always know mother's love. Yeah, the warmth in my heart, this world is cold. You're the voice in my head, tearing my soul. Even after you're gone, the love I gave within my heart, it's all in my love.
What if I'd gotten mad at God when Brandon went through that? How might that have influenced the man Brandon became? Let's pray. Father God, you are amazing. We are not alone. Thank you for calling us to this noble calling. Now show us how to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks so much.